Okay, let's just jump right into it. When the fuck are we going to find out what the PlayStation 5 is going to cost? I hate this wait more than almost anything happening in the world. That's right, virus, racism, all that other stuff that should be important, Trump still having that haircut, all of it. Just tell me how much it will cost. We don't even need to know the exact day it'll come out. We know you're going to put it out for the holidays so that we can all throw our money there. But let some people have this time to plot how they're going to afford a PlayStation 5. I mean, it just makes sense. Now, of course, I'm not talking about myself. I happen to have my foot on a very large box of treasure that I found. However, a lot of people might need to rob someone, move some money around, not pay the rest of their bills until they've saved up the $500 to $700 that it could cost. It's just not right. And Sony, I hope that this makes its way to someone who's a decision maker's ears. Shame on you. Shame!
And now for another dark tale. Antonio Brooks received a phone call from Detective Ayer that his daughter Tanya had been the victim of a violent crime. He needed to come down to the police station and help identify the body. Upon arriving at the station, Antonio noticed that everyone had a look on their face when looking at him that he was unfamiliar with. Before long, he found himself standing in front of a body that reminded him of his little girl. She had on the earrings that his mother had given her prior to her college graduation. It was a scar that she had received when she first learned how to ride a bicycle. And her face was unrecognizable. Brooks found the man who had been dating his daughter days later. She had warned him that her boyfriend was abusive, and she feared that he wouldn't leave her alone. The man begged for his life. He was beaten. Finally, Antonio picked up a hammer and asked the gentleman, "Do you know what comes next?" Years later, Antonio sat in a cell, chewing. A guard comes over and takes his final meal from him. As it turned out, Tanya's boyfriend was not the person who killed her. Her killer was found shortly after the boyfriend's death, and Antonio only had his last memories of the young man to tide him over. As the guard took away the food, he asked Antonio, "You know what happens next, right?" Antonio could not control his laughter.
I remember this one night I had this great adventure with a couple of friends who I will call D and J. Involved shrooms and of course weed, like we were always high. So getting some shrooms, we agree to meet in the parking lot in front of this old like kebab place. I only remember that because we were sitting there for a long time. I think somebody was really late. So we sat there and we thought about where we could go to enjoy the shrooms because, you know, it's going to be like 7-8 hours. Need somewhere nice and calm. We certainly didn't want to be out in public like that. It would be years before I would feel comfortable out in public on shrooms. So D has the idea, let's go back to my place. So we're like, cool. I happen to have the, I think, second season of the Boondocks DVD in my car. So I grabbed that because I was like, oh, that's going to be off the chain on shrooms. So we head back to D's place. Now, D lives with his family. And yes, we were grown, like all of his family's there. Mom, dad, older brother, and his grandmother's in town. Now, he tells us about his grandmother. Jay is also black, like me. I know how I sound. He tells us that his grandmother is in town, and we just need to be careful because she is an old white lady who is terrified of black people. Literally terrified. Like, he was trying to say it like it wasn't racist. Like, she's afraid of them the way that people are afraid of clowns. There is something racist about that, but, you know, that wasn't the time to get into that whole debate. I was just like, wow, that's, like, really racist, but I do appreciate the heads up because it wasn't my intention to scare some elderly white woman that night. I can't help the fact that I am already dressed. So I am already a black dude. I'll get into the shirt that I have shortly. So we walk into the house. Jay and I have met Dee's family before, so they know we're nice kids despite our skin tone, and everybody greets us friendly, except like we had planned to just like sneak in because we're already on the shrooms. They haven't kicked in yet. But our plan is to just sneak in, go into the basement, which is large. Like, they live in like a mansion. But the whole family is in the kitchen that you have to go through before you can get to the rest of the house. Unless there was a different door that he should have taken us in, but it didn't. So the whole family's there, including the terrified grandmother. We say our hellos, we hug everybody. My shirt is bright green. And it says, most likely to succeed, and then that's scratched out with a big X. And then smoke weed is written underneath the X. So, I mean, I am not the best ambassador of black people in that moment. Certainly not to his terrified grandmama. So we get downstairs, and Jay and I are, you know, relaxing. It's very comfortable. It's like if you were to imagine going to Bow Wow's house. I don't know why I picked Bow Wow. I just imagine that he would have a lot of comfortable things there, perhaps some toys and things that you could just really have a good shroom into. Put in the DVD. Now it's starting to kick in. Right as the shrooms are starting to kick in, Dee's father, who is a very pleasant, older white dude. Think any dad from a white sitcom. Like, if he had ever said anything offensive, I would have been stunned. So he comes down with, like, some real general, hey, how you guys doing type banter. Not really talking about anything. Just asking what we're doing, and we're watching a video. I will say, because I remember it so clearly, he rubbed my head and he rubbed Jay's head, like almost as though we were white kids. But if you know about black hair, it doesn't do that thing that white hair does when you run your hands through it. So instead, he just kind of messed up our hair. And while he was doing it, we both looked over at each other because he had one hand on each. And we just had a terrified look. We looked like the grandma. And we're like, what is he doing? Okay. I'm tripping. I'm not here for any drama. So, the dad leaves. A few minutes later, like right as we've all begun to talk and joke again, now the older brother comes down to the basement. Again, not what, like, you don't want this contact while you're tripping. And it was good stuff. So the brother is like, hey, so did you guys talk to dad? And we're like, yeah, he was just down here. And he's like, okay. Well, let me clarify, because I don't think that he made his point clear. He didn't have a point. He didn't bring up anything. The brother tells us, you and Jay cannot stay here because grandma is terrified of having black people in the house. I'm sorry, I know how that sounds, but she's our grandma. and we can't have you guys here right now. So we are all just blown. And I don't know if that slang will get lost on people, but we're like, they just popped the shroom balloon that was the plans of our night. We're just, oh man. But we understand. So now we're all sitting there. My car was left in a totally different parking lot. D is the person that drove us to his house. We are all tripping. We don't want to tell his family that we are on mushrooms, but the brother is kind of getting less and less patient. And he's like, seriously, like, everybody's got to go, go, go. So we're sitting there trying to think about it. We go back out through the kitchen, whole family still in the kitchen. And it was late. What they were doing in the kitchen, I have no idea. We go back out through the kitchen and get in D's SUV. As we get into the SUV, because I had had a Chipotle burrito bowl, I apologize for leaving that out earlier, wasn't that big a deal to me. However, I haven't even cracked this thing open. I needed to microwave it. We get to the car, and I realize I've forgotten my burrito. Didn't forget the DVDs. And I told D, hey man, you gotta go back and grab my burrito. And he stands there for a while, thinking really hard about it, looking back towards the house, but he's not moving. And I'm like, seriously, just go get the burrito bowl. And he's like, no, I don't wanna see my family again. I'm really tripping. And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Calm down. I will go because I don't care. I'll go through the house and go get my burrito. Totally understandable. I left my burrito. He's like, no, I'll buy you another burrito. That thing is gone. I hope he ate it, just because to think of him just throwing away my, you know, $11 burrito is troublesome. But we eventually do agree to abandon the burrito. But I mean, we argued about that out front of his house for about 4 minutes. I was really not trying to leave there sans burrito. So now we're getting into the car, and Jay and I are really concerned, because if you've ever been on hallucinogens, you don't want to drive like that. Like, I know it can be fun driving with like a shot in you or something, but no, we don't want to die, not on that night, and not like that. I should mention that the drive from Route 1, for those who are familiar, is a very popular road. Before I-95, that's what people used to get up and down the East Coast with. The drive from Route 1 to get to D's house took you through woods. Like, it's the kind of place at night that is frightening, especially if you have a headlight out. Like, you need all your lights, and you probably need the high beams on, because it's just forest. So we're like, okay, let's just drive, I don't know, 5 miles an hour or something, so that we're going real slow and you can get out of the woods and we can get back to civilization, and then we'll figure out a plan from there. And we were creeping in a way that if anybody had seen the vehicle moving through the woods, the cops would have been called. Like, what are they looking for? Is a dog loose? Why are they moving that slow? Finally, we get back onto Route 1. And I want to say he drove for another minute until we found a parking lot, because we were like, let's just get out of the car. No more driving while high on mushrooms. And park the car, and then we just basically walked around. We walked miles up and down, back and forth. I think we got some food at one point, drank some beer in the parking lot, and just did nothing for about, let's say, 3, maybe 4 hours. And I want to say this was a Thursday. There was a place, I think it's still there, called Brittany's in Lake Ridge, Virginia. At some point, and we're all still high, at some point, Jay decided he really wanted to go perform. We were all stand-up comics. He really wanted to perform. He felt it, and he was feeling good. first I was like, that's a horrible idea. And then eventually, you know, if that's what you want to do, you're grown. Okay. So we all eventually go back. D felt well enough to drive over. Again, I'm without my car. So do I have a choice? Not really. Unless I want to be stranded in a parking lot high on mushrooms and try to find my way miles back to my own vehicle. So we went to Brittany's and we all performed high on mushrooms. And, you know, despite the fact that the night started out so weird, it was a great night. And I think about it at least once every quarter. All right, so let's talk about gun rights. I am not really a fan of guns. I was in the military. I have no interest in really shooting a gun in my personal life. However, I do understand that some people would like a gun for defense because I have a family now. And I do get that fear of people just coming into your place in the middle of the night. And what are you going to do? Thought about exit strategies and all, but yes, I would like to be able to just grab a gun and shoot these people right in the face before they can do me or my family any harm. I get that, but I'm still not in favor. So here's what I would propose. We're playing devil's advocate here, and okay, everybody can have guns. Sure. But what if maybe it was just the cops who had guns? I mean, would that be so wrong? And maybe cops shouldn't be firing real bullets anymore. Maybe they only get rubber bullets and nobody gets guns. Or if you hate that, we can still let everybody have guns, but let's make the requirement to own a gun so ridiculous that we bring those numbers down to something minuscule. Like, yes, do the full background. Let's get a mental health check. Let's talk to 10 references. I wanted to say 20, but let's be fair. Let's talk to 10 references. I want to know what you're like. And you should probably have to do some stuff that's just ridiculous. Let's get a physical fitness test in there. I want you to be able to run a mile in 4 minutes. Does that have anything to do with owning a gun? Not really. But if you want a gun, I don't see what the big deal is there. Like, do whatever I said. Jump through all the hoops if you want this gun. You know how to make creme brulee? Maybe we want you to do that too. Because you want to own something where you could potentially take a life. And I wouldn't be totally against the fact that, you know, if you want to own a gun, maybe you should get shot once. Just so that you understand what it is that you might be doing to others. And if you don't want to get shot to own a gun, that's fine. You don't have to own a gun. But if you do, you know, go through what I say. This is why I'll never be elected to power, though. But I think that that's fair. And at the end of the day, I know that people often like to talk about men as though we care about nothing when it comes to sex other than, is it on the table? Because I'll have some. I think that I was just born different. I'm not saying I'm the pickiest man in the world because I'm certainly not the most attractive dude there is. I'm attractive. What's up? But I remember this one horrible first date that I had. So I had just gotten out of a relationship. She had cheated on me. And so I felt like I needed to get out there immediately. I was like, I am not going to sit around and be heartbroken. I am going to go out and bang somebody new because that's what she did. So this was the first time that I had tried anything like online. And I think I even went to Craigslist. I don't remember what I was looking for, how I got there, but I remember that there was a woman. And we had spoken back and forth a little, wasn't going bad. I remember we were emailing, and she had sent me a few pictures of herself. I gladly sent over some of mine. Now, at this point, because I hadn't really dealt with trying to meet anybody online before, I wasn't aware of some of the tricks that people try to use, like big women. No disrespect. I've never been into big women. Everybody needs love. But big women like to do this thing where they take a picture, like overhead selfie, where their whole body is pretty much cropped out and you can only see their face. And she had those. And she had done them at angles that kept me from realizing what I would the moment we were standing in front of one another. So I remember it was a Sunday and we agreed to meet at this little like Irish, it was a restaurant. I wanted to say bar, but it was a restaurant. So I get there and she's already there. I appreciated the punctuality. Nobody in this world's punctual anymore. And when I walk in and see her for the first time, it was like I had just gotten taste because I just kind of like froze up for a second, taking in what I'm looking at. So, I mean, just off the bat, her eyes were really far apart. I know that's not a big deal to some, but they were so far apart that I kept wondering if there is a medical reason for that. Or, you know, maybe one of her parents just had eyes really far apart, but they were screaming hello to one another. They couldn't just say it at a normal volume. She's also much, much shorter than I had anticipated. Now, I know that there are some 6'7" guys out there that have no problem dating a woman who is 4'11", but there's a certain dynamic that I like. I like to be able to kiss without having to like bend all the way over. And if we hold hands, I don't want to look like a father taking his daughter out for a stroll. But she's got on these ridiculously large platform sandal type things. I remember that. I also remember what her feet looked like, but I'm not here to paint her as a monster. So she's wearing something low cut. To her credit, her boobs were just as big as they looked in one picture. But she had acne on her chest, which I wasn't a huge fan of. And it was worse on her back, both of which were exposed by the tank top that she had chosen for the day. So, you know, I can get through a meal. I'm a person. We're sitting down making conversation, and she's real handsy. I'm not somebody who likes to be touched in general. If I'm in a relationship, if it's love, certainly. I'm a big old snuggle bear. But don't touch me, like, right off the bat, especially not a lot. But I know that that is a way that some women like to show interest. Unfortunately, I did not have any interest at that point. So any touch wanted, I was ready to scream. We eat our meal, and that's cool. And then, because it only took like an hour or so, she's like, oh, would you like to just, you know, walk around this plaza? Because it was this place in Fredericksburg, like a big mall, but it was like a giant strip mall. And the restaurant was in the middle of a parking lot. So we go looking through the stores. I remember we went to a store like 10,000 Villages or 1,000 Villages, something like that. People thought we were boyfriend and girlfriend in the store while she asked questions. Okay, whatever. I'm on my way out. That's where my mind is at. Then she says, have you really, you know, been to Fredericksburg before? And I was like, no, not really. I tend to stay in my area of town. Fredericksburg was like a half hour, 40 minute drive away from my home. Gotta mention that I wasn't thrilled that I drove that far for someone that didn't look how I expected. Anyway, she says, well, let me show you around Fredericksburg some. Okay. So we get in her car and she drives me down to some mall that I had never been to. It wasn't bad. Looking fine. She was holding my hand while we were walking through the mall, and you know, okay. But then, and this is where things really took a turn, she says, oh, let me take you down to Old Town. I don't like old anything. And have a look around, you know, cobblestone roads, a million white people, and just like a little blip of blackness, me and her. As we're walking through Old Town holding hands, she begins to tell me about how she was raped. Now, I don't mean to like make light of her rape crime. I don't want to keep using the R word at all. But I think that a first date, probably too soon to bring that up, because it definitely knocks romance all the way out the window, and there was none left in me anyway. So now what is unpleasant just went to an awkward unpleasantness I can't wait to escape. And as we're walking, you know, I'm trying to keep the conversation going, but I'm just like, boy, I am ready to be done. I look at my watch, and I remember it was Sunday because of the fact that Curb Your Enthusiasm was premiering their season in which Larry was in New York. So we're back in the car. I'm thinking we're heading towards my car, parked in the parking lot outside that Irish restaurant. We start getting on to the highway, as like we didn't take the highway to get here. So I start asking questions like, hey, where are we going? And she's like, oh, I thought we would go back to my place and maybe watch a movie. And I was like, oh, no, could you take me back to my car? And she goes, sure. And she was dead serious, even though this can be heard as humor. She's like, well, where should I drop you off? And I'd already set my car, but I was like, okay, we're on an entrance ramp going onto the highway. Because I remember saying, okay, I mean, I guess you could just let me off right here on like the shoulder. And she laughed and goes, oh, no, it's okay. I'll take you back to your car. And I was like, oh, okay, thank you. Because I thought that might be a long walk. I get back to my car, and I have never driven so fast. But I remember making it home just in time to get there for the series season premiere, And my roommate, Nelson, is sitting there like, how was the date? And I was like, dude, her eyes were really far apart. Plus, I know that she's been raped and we didn't even spend a whole lot of time together. Let's watch the show. And let me just make a note on this whole quarantine, wear your mask. First of all, wear a mask. It's a pandemic. Just do your part so that we can all stay as healthy as possible and get through this. Now, having said that, as a parent, I hate people speaking to me about my child. I feel like most parents would probably agree with that. I just want to give a couple examples in the past week or so. One day, I went out with my toddler to the supermarket, and this woman was walking straight towards us on the sidewalk. She was on the wrong side. You're supposed to walk on the right, no matter which way you're going. Pass on the left. I almost stepped us both into the street to get out of her way because she was just charging forward. And my son didn't have a mask on because he's a toddler. And at that point, he was still pulling the mask off repeatedly. I didn't want to be bothered with that. So, as she passes, she sees me in a mask and him without a mask. And says to us, where's his mask at? And I turned and looked at her and thought about all the curse words that I would like to throw her way. But there were also a lot of people around, and I was like, nope, I am not going to be that guy cursing this woman out in the street right now. So I just go back, but I was angry for a good 45 minutes from that. About a week later, now my wife and I are out with our son, and we've all got masks on. We're passing this old man who says hi to my wife as if he knows her, which he doesn't. And then he goes, hey, he can't see with that mask on because my son, instead of pulling it off all the time, which he still tries to do sometimes, if he keeps it on, he tries to chew on the inside of it, which causes it to come down below his nose. So then we pull it up, and I had literally just pulled it back up, and it was a little bit in his eyes, but the guy's like, he can't see with his mask on. We say nothing. And he's like, I said he can't see with his mask, and then I just put a big hand in his face. wanting to scream, "Shut up. Shut up. I don't like to talk to strangers." But he got it eventually because he could see the anger in my eyes, like, "Leave me alone. I did not ask for your help. I got to pull this kid's mask up and down every 15 steps. I'll get to it in just a moment." I said that to say this. They teach us as children, don't talk to strangers. Please, don't talk to strangers. We probably don't want you to talk to us.
Let's see it. Got it.